I'm really moved in what I want to share with you this morning. And I thought I better have a word of prayer before I start. So Heavenly Father, thank you that this message will hit the heart of each and every person that is listening, that they can see the vast greatness of your love and care and concern for each and every person, that your love so abounds in their hearts that they can recognize who they are before you. So I pray for your guidance, your hand in the middle of this sharing, so that your people can understand, appreciate, and live the fullness of the new birth realities. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Great. For centuries, in the Christian church, so many people have lived with a great fear. Thousands upon thousands, probably millions of people have experienced this fear. And I got to imagine each and every person, Christian, has experienced this fear. I know I have. I don't anymore. Not at all. And this is the fear that I'm talking about, is not knowing that I am saved, that I am born again of God's Spirit, that I belong to Him. Do I really belong to Him? Am I really saved? Am I really full of the new birth realities? Again, so many thousands of people continue to question that in their heart. So, how sure are we of the permanence of our salvation? What makes it so permanent, if it is? I want you to leave this place today, this morning, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you are born again of God's Spirit, that you have eternal life abiding within, that you are His and His for sure. Now, I cannot think of any greater feeling of satisfaction, of fulfillment, knowing that I belong to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That His salvation that He wrought through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is true and real and living in me. Whew. Can you think of any greater reality in the thinking of your mind that you're born again of God's Spirit, that you belong to Him? I can't. I cannot. But today, you're going to leave here, unless you're blinder than a bat, and bats aren't that blind, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are His and He is yours. Okay, let's look at this thing, salvation, all right? Salvation, being saved. What is that? Let's take a look at this first slide. What is salvation? And there's a few expressions in the Bible. This first one is, are you saved, brother? Right? You hear that all the time. Are you saved? And Romans 10:9 talks about that, doesn't it? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from the wrath to come, saved from eternal death. Pretty good. I like that kind of save, huh? You know, there's some other places where it talks about being born of God. So let's take a look in our Bibles in 1 John. 1 John, back of your Bibles here, chapter 5. Here in the Scriptures, God's Word, it says, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Yes, I hope so. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. I'm reading the old English out of the King James, right? It's talking about birth here, begotten. By this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is that? Our faith, our believing. See, you believe. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? You're saved. You're born of God. This is what it's talking about. In 1 Peter, it talks about a new birth here. Let's take a look at that. You're in 1 John. Go back towards Genesis, book of 2. In 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. We're begotten again. Again, this is a King James. I'm sure some of your other translations have new birth or born. But here it is, has begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, a hope that we are sure of and are convinced of. By what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is so critical. I always make sure when I'm talking to people and sharing the new birth, helping them get saved, born again, I share about the resurrection. Because that's so critical. We've got to believe that God truly raised his Son from the dead. His death was very meaningful, but the resurrection seals the deal. God accepted his Son's his sacrifice, yes, because he raised him from the dead. Pretty neat, huh? All right, chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we're newborn what? Babes, all right? We're babes. So it's interesting, isn't it, that our salvation relates to birth, being born again. We're saved. We're his child. And we can see here in John, let's go to the Gospel of John, if you would, chapter 3, where Jesus Christ is sharing about the new birth. And he's sharing it with Nicodemus. And this was some great information prior to Jesus Christ giving his life and dying for us. So here it is in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this born again, the word again is in the Greek anothen, which literally means born from above. Who's up there? God Almighty, right? Born from above, God Almighty, cannot see the kingdom of God. Boy, there it is, cut and dry, right? Except a man be born again. Born from above, he will not see the kingdom of God. If you are born again, you will. Well, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, that's quite a mind picture, isn't it? Whoa. But Nicodemus is trying to figure this out. He's thinking this out. What's going on here? Yeah. All right. So, verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, Jesus is kind of opening his understanding to this. Now, what's the birth by water? That's our first birth, right? Right before the baby comes, the water comes out, and we know things are going to be happening with the birth of a child. So that's the first birth. The second birth is what? With what? The Spirit. All right? The Spirit. So this new birth, being born again, entails Spirit, being born of Spirit. All right. And that's what salvation is all about, is being born with this Spirit. Now, what does it take to be born? What did it take to get you to be born? Seed. Right? Seed. Sperm is seed. That little, you cannot see it. One of those little critters, out of thousands of them, hits this egg. A whole new life begins. Here are these little things happen. Lo and behold, here's a 6'5" Bob Linfeld. Now, I know it doesn't happen like that, but as time goes on, look what happens to that seed that germinates in that egg and life begins. And all of life revolves around this seed-type birth, right? Yeah, you need seed. What does seed do? It germinates a new life, a whole new life. All of life talks about seeds and birth. And there's so many kinds and types of seeds out there, right? The smallest seeds, scientists say, are orchid seeds. Certain orchid seeds, you can't see them. They're microscopic. The largest seed out there is a coconut. But it's a different coconut. There's a coconut. It's called Coco de Mer. It's sometimes 40 pounds. This is about a couple, 3 pounds. This is a seed. In the right conditions, a plant comes out of this. A new life comes out of it. That's how God set up life. Jesus Christ talked about a seed. What kind of seed did he talk about, talking about believing, teaching believing? Yeah, mustard seed. And in their time and culture, the mustard seed was considered the smallest seed. And here's a little bitty. There it is. See it? And a little mustard seed there. It's pretty small. But what does a little mustard seed produce? A big old tree, huh? Big mustard tree. Again, these little things germinate and grow into a life. And each one of them have specific DNA, right? certain characteristics that are within that seed, and you get what's in that seed, right? If it's an apple seed, you're not going to have oranges on that tree, right? You're going to have apples. What is a coconut? What kind of seeds are you going to get from coconuts, from the big coconut palm tree? No, no watermelon. You're going to get more coconuts. It's simple like that, isn't it? Look at 1 Corinthians. God's Word explains all this stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:37, number 4 here. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 15:37, 38. This is the ESV version. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but the bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Now, if you want a coconut, do you take a palm tree and you know, dig a big long hole and stick it in the dough? You take the seed of a coconut. A carrot. I'm growing carrots in my garden, winter garden. Those carrot seeds are really small. Put that in that dirt there, and it grows into a carrot. 3 or 4 months, I've got these beautiful yellow orange carrots. Now, I didn't put a carrot in the ground. I put the seed in the ground. And that seed has all the characteristics, DNA we call it, that make carrots. And farmers are just so exacting in how they work with these seeds so they get just the exact type of fruit or vegetable or whatever plant they want, huh? Because it's sown within the seed. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed, its own body. So do you understand a little more about seeds here? Good. Good. You know, well, what about the new birth? That seed of Christ within. Are we born of seed? We've talked about being born again, right? Being saved, begotten. Let's go to 1 John 3:9. You know, I skipped a verse, did I? Yes, we need to go to 1 Peter. Number 3 slide. 1 Peter 1:23. We got it. This is the key verse right here. 1 Peter 1:23. And here it is, being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, the first seed is corruptible. It's going to die, all right? But we're born again of incorruptible seed. And how do we get it? By the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that we heard and believed that taught us about Jesus Christ. We never met the guy 2,000 years ago, but we believe the word of God, the word of truth, and because of that, we have the salvation. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers away, the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. That's what I'm sharing with you. The word of God, the word of truth that will bring you this incorruptible seed when you believe it. Yep. It's a great reality that we are born of incorruptible seed. Now, let's go to 1 John 3:9. This is slide number 5. 1 John 3:9. Okay. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Wait a minute here. You know, I'm a nice Christian, but I do sin. I do make mistakes. So what's going on here? What seed or nature is sinning in Bob? The corruptible kind, right? The first seed. But that seed that's incorruptible, can that incorruptible seed sin? No, no. That's eternal life. That's perfect seed. You have that. That's what this is talking about. You can sin in your five senses, regular flesh life, but spiritually, you've got perfection. You've got perfection. Why? Because the seed lives within you. That seed lives within you, and that seed is spirit. Let's take a look at slide 6, 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. How do we know we dwell in him and he in us? Because he gives us the spirit, right? We have that new birth spirit that makes all the difference in the world. It's incorruptible seed. It's perfect. Now, 1 John 3:24, and hereby know that we that he abides in us by the spirit that he has given to us, right? There it is again. So the result of the seed dwelling in us is that we have a salvation that's permanent. You cannot lose it. I don't care what you do, you cannot lose this permanent, incorruptible seed that's born within you. Is that? How do you feel about that? Is that okay? You'll go with that? Think about it. Oh my gosh, yes. Purpose of the ages. To realize that I am his and he is mine. I can't lose it. It's permanent forever and ever and ever. God is always there. I might have the worst day in my life, but who's there with me? Who's in me? It's God and Christ in me. It's seed. It's incorruptible. Woo! It's just too much. Our okay living in this so-so world has so mushed up the excitement, the thrill of being born again of God's Spirit, the reality that we have eternal life, that we belong to God. Wow. I wish I could run and, you know, they do the flips and do this, all this stuff. People get excited, right? If they score a stupid touchdown with a leather-looking ball, they throw the ball down and they dance around and do flips. How stupid. But how real the new birth is for us. All right, let's take a look at 1 Peter. Two more verses. We'll close up here. We'll let you go rejoicing, I hope. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This is you. It's talking about you. And holy nation, a peculiar people. This is King James. This peculiar people really means a people of acquisition. In other words, a people that have been bought with a price. The price being the life of Jesus Christ. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Woo! That's why we just praise God a lot, because he has done so much for us. What can we do for him? We can praise him. We can hold forth the words of light and share this ministry of reconciliation. That's our responsibility. God handed this privilege to you and I to hold forth the other people. The angels can't do it. The angels talked to Cornelius, but did the angels tell him about the new birth? No, he said, you got to go see Peter. He's the only one that can do it, or any other Christian. But in that case, it was Peter, right? You and I have the ministry of reconciliation. We can share it. Pretty neat. Yeah. All right, slide number 8. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All right, this is the ESV. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You and I are a new creation. It is seed in you. It is eternal life. It's Christ in you. All that Christ is in you. And it's seed. Permanent seed. Incorruptible seed. And thereby we are a new creation in Christ. Now, if that doesn't make your day, I don't know what will. Because this is, to me, and I think for any man or woman, this is the greatest knowledge to know the permanence of your salvation by the new birth realities. Okay? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have done such a beautiful work through your Son by which we can be born again. Again, from above with the seed, incorruptible seed with Christ within, that this Spirit in us can abide. It's eternal. And we can operate the 9 manifestations. We can speak in tongues. We can do all the manifestations, Father, because we have that Spirit. Because we can speak in tongues, we know without a shadow of a doubt that we're born again of God's Spirit. What a great proof that is. So, Father, I just pray for your people to recognize the value of their life as they live it for you until Christ comes back. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.